RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
It's time for our legal hub being a Wednesday morning here at RCR. Joining us is tax lawyer Mary Nelson again. Hi, Mary. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Paul. Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
I want to get on to the rather depressing subject of liquidations and bankruptcies in just a moment, but I want to get your comment on this because it sure has a legal angle. And it's from ABC News in Australia. Social media ban for children to be introduced this year, but age limit undetermined. The Prime Minister, Albo, has vowed to introduce a bill to ban children from social media this year. As I say, the minimum age to be determined, though children aged up to 16 could be banned from social media, as the federal government promises legislation to impose a minimum age to use platforms like Facebook and Instagram by the end of this year. What do you make of that?
I think it's very, very interesting. And so when I read this, then I looked at China and how they actually deal with social media and children. And actually what they do is they just limit the access that they have. But I thought one side of me, because personally I'm not really a huge fan of social media. And so a side of me is like, yeah, sure, ban kids from using it. But then I think, how nanny-ish? Shouldn't it be up to parents to be deciding what their children can have? And secondly, how on earth could they enforce that? Who tells the truth about their age?
It's all part of the control system, really, isn't it? In the end, you say nanny, but that's the nice word, right?
It is, seriously. It is control, and it has. They're getting into our houses. They're in our bedrooms, they're in our bathrooms, they're in our bloody underwear. You know, I mean, for goodness sakes, just, I personally think they need to step back a little bit. And the other thing that I think is quite interesting, if you're going to talk about what kids can and cannot do, well, there is a problem of transgenderism and what children are able to do at a very young age that is shocking in comparison than trying to restrict children on social media. I think you can either go all one way or all the other way, but children are either children all the time, that you can't be a child some of the time and an adult the other part of the time.
You make a good point, because I would imagine in the schools the transgender theory continues to be taught. While you can't go to social media, and some may argue that that perpetuates that for many, but it's all kind of, again, state control. Here's what we want to indoctrinate you with. We don't want any white noise. We don't want any competition, right?
Yes. It's an overreach. There's an underreach and there's an overreach. The balance is incorrect. In fact, it's not balanced at all.
And it's the parents' responsibility, isn't it, to guide and police children's activities in the family, not Albanese's?
I'd like to think so. And it's very easy to limit access to the internet. You just have to turn off your Wi-Fi, unless someone has a lot of data.
He's saying parents are worried sick about this. The safety and mental and physical health of our young people is paramount. Parents want their kids off their phones and on the footy field, using the footy analogy there. So, you know, parents want it. They're begging for it, is what he's saying.
Are they begging the government for it? Or are they just hoping that their children will stop using social media? I mean, who are they asking? And are they asking? It's very strange.
Yeah, probably many parents would think, just because they're busy, they don't think too deeply about things. Maybe I'm making assumptions here, but they think, oh, well, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah, that's fair enough, mate. You know, you just hear it.
So many things that sounded like a good idea until your heart fell over.
Yeah.
You know,
all right. And what is in Australia probably arrives here at some point too. I we're just waiting for the news story on that for here, probably.
I don't know. I wonder if they will, because social media is a form. I mean, you can manipulate children so heavily on social media. Would our government really ban it, or would they use it as a tool?
Both. All right. Let's get into where you have the front row seat. We talked last time, we sort of touched on this in our chat a few weeks ago, because you said you'd been in court and you'd seen I can't remember the word you used, unprecedented, was it, or something like that, indicated that anyway, number of liquidations and bankruptcies. Is that the case?
It's huge. So many years ago, when I first started out as a lawyer, I worked at Inland Revenue, and for a period of time, I was actually the liquidations lawyer, and which I actually thoroughly enjoyed, to be perfectly honest. I'm sorry for all the companies that got liquidated. But sorry about that. But, you know, I'd trundle off to court with my however many files, and normally it was a debt that couldn't be sorted out, and it was just the end of the road for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and again I'd have, so on the liquidations list at the High Court in Auckland, it used to be 2 days. Over COVID, they changed it to 1 day. Then it was none days, actually. And now it's back to 2 days again. But the IRD lawyers, there's two of them, and they will have, it's hard to know, but I'd say between the two of them, anything from 20 to 40 files at a go. Not all of those are on a liquidation day, and not all of those companies will be liquidated. Some, there'll be a settlement and they'll be withdrawn. Some, they'll be waiting for further information, and so they'll get an adjournment, and other ones, they just fight tooth and nail to get the company liquidated.
Yep.
So before COVID, it was just business as usual. During COVID, Inland Revenue stopped chasing people, and I think I told you last time I got basically letters for all of my clients from Inland Revenue saying that they weren't going to pursue anyone over this time.
For the moment. Yeah.
For the moment. And the bad thing about that is, first of all, it gave people a false sense of security, thinking that they were going to be left alone.
Yeah.
Secondly, the penalties and the interest continued to accrue on the debt. And so IRD interest is around about 10%. The penalties are anything from 1% to quite a lot of money if it's PAYE, because actually it's a crime not to pay your PAYE.
Yeah.
But you just see these debts balloon out. Anyway, probably about the middle of last year, IRD started getting absolutely really hard on debtors. So I'm in the liquidations court probably two or three times a month.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, and most of my clients have tax debt. Some of them, well, actually the bulk of them, I've got to say, I settle. I've had two companies liquidated in the last couple of weeks. One I wasn't surprised about. The other one, I'm actually quite angry about.
Oh, really? Okay. Why?
Because I don't know if you've heard of the Seascape building in Auckland.
Is that the really tall one?
Yeah, the really tall one. That's actually the company, the developers, they haven't paid China Construction. So China Construction is owed a lot of money.
Yeah.
The developers had a period of time to pay it. So China Construction couldn't pay the subcontractors. They had a period of time to pay it, the developer. They didn't pay it, and China Construction shut business down 2 weeks ago. Okay. And issued letters to all of the subcontractors. Well, the subcontractor that got liquidated was one of the subcontractors. And I'm conflicted in a lot of ways about this, because we do have rules in New Zealand that say you need to pay tax and you've got to pay your tax on time. But when you have not been paid several million dollars, it's like, when do you pull the plug? And actually, this is a problem with a lot of clients. It's like that almost there, and it's with a lot of debtors. You know, you have this bill that you need to pay, and you think business is going to get better. It's actually, in particular, the two ones I find the most that's happening with the present is hospitality and construction. And they wait too long, or they go too far, or they hang on too long, and they just get themselves more in the hole. But with this particular company last week, China Construction will eventually be paid, because that building has to be finished.
Yeah, of course.
Otherwise,
it's like a shell that sits there like some crumbling artifact.
Well, I sort of thought that there could have been a little bit more leeway, as a matter of fact. So I have no idea what's going to happen to that big, gigantic building. But it's in a ton of, there's a ton of problems with it now. I thought that, I mean, we tried really hard. We put all sorts of proposals to Inland Revenue. The company had other ongoing work that was it had met all its obligations since, I think, the middle of last year.
Yeah, so they had a good record.
They had a terrible record at the beginning, but they got a good record.
Okay.
Their record was awful, but the record was awful because they weren't being paid. They probably held on for too long and probably should have just said goodbye to this huge big contract a little bit sooner.
Yeah, it's easy to say that, eh? But how do you know how to time that?
I just don't know. Yeah. You know, the other problem is, like, in New Zealand, like, IRD liquidate, but in other countries, they don't have income tax for companies.
Right.
So you're not going to have this sort of problem in a country like Saudi Arabia or Vanuatu or, you know, any. There are so many countries that don't have income tax, so they're never going to have this sort of problem. So IRD kind of stymies people a little bit as well, I suppose, due to the fact that they're bound by the law, which is everyone has to pay their tax and they have to pay it on time. So
yeah, well, that's in an ideal world, that's okay, but we're dealing with human beings here. And you're dealing with, there's a lot of emotion in it, right? You've got a company going, you've built it up over time, you've put your heart and soul into it. It's a status thing for people as well. There's a lot to lose.
Yeah, there is a lot. And you lose everything. Like, I think one of the settlements I did recently, we're almost there, but it was two companies. The guy had streamlined everything. And it was so hard to get the settlement across the line. But if IRD had liquidated the company, which actually we got a further adjournment and I think everything's about to be sorted out, but if IRD had liquidated this company, it was a family company, a husband and a wife, and they would have lost everything, including they would have lost their house, their business and their livelihood.
Right.
And IRD fought to liquidate the company. I don't know what that. Oh, actually, it was. Someone told me that they were given a new directive a few months ago, and I think this directive is get as much money as you can. That works in a weird way when someone can provide the money, can pay the debt, you know, within, as it turns out now, by December. And I think the total debt was around about $500,000. Well, the whole thing will be paid by December. And my opinion was that IRD are better off waiting until December liquidating.
That was going to be one of my next questions. Isn't it sensible to hang on? Because there are economic cycles and, you know, people take hits and all of that, and that's well known. But if there's a rebound, isn't it more sensible to wait just a little bit of time and let things sort of rebound, reset, and still get something in, right?
That's what all my clients say, Paul.
Yeah. I hope I'm not one of your clients. But just seems sensible
yes.
to me, pragmatic, you know, and also working with the human condition, I would have thought.
Well, I would think so too. But, you know, God bless IRD and, you know, working for the devil sometimes, I think, but... You know, I think that the staff at IRD forget a fundamental fact that over lockdowns, they were all fully paid the whole time. They got to stay at home. They never had to worry about how they were going to meet their creditors. They didn't have to worry about paying staff. You know, the boss at the time, the leader at the time, told everyone to continue employing their staff. So people racked up massive PAYE debt. And now... IRD kind of have put the whole COVID thing behind them, but most of the companies that have big debt, the big debt starts in around about March 2020. And I thought it's unreasonable that everyone was told to continue employing all your staff and then to punish them a couple of years later when they haven't been able to pay the PAYE. Because if you're employing your staff, if you're paying someone $100 a week, you still have to pay the amount of PAYE to the Inland Revenue. But when you've got no money, you're going to focus on paying your staff. That's the other thing. I mean, you're supposed to pay your tax before everything, which I also get. It's in the law. However, if you've got a choice between paying your power bill or paying your suppliers if you're a cafe, you've got to pay them first because you need that to generate the income to then go and pay the tax.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that
a no-brainer.
It is a no-brainer. I think that IAD just need to be 10 times more reasonable, and they need to remember that there was almost 2.5 years where, in particular, hospitality was locked out.
Yeah.
And when you see these people in the liquidations court, another thing about the liquidations court is that you need to be represented by a lawyer. That's in the High Court rules. But a lot of people can't afford lawyers.
Yeah, gosh, it's really set up to be easy, isn't it? Gee.
It's actually quite tragic. And so often you'll be in the liquidation court and there'll be the judge and the registrar at the front, and then there's 50 million lawyers with their high-heeled shoes and their black capes on. And then at the back there's going to be a bunch of probably debtors. And often they're self-represented, and the judges are extremely amazing. I cannot speak highly enough of the associate judges at the High Court.
Okay, yep.
Because we're only dealing with debt here, we're not dealing with anything else.
Yeah.
And they are so responsive. They let people have their say. But watching these people beg a judge is
I can imagine.
Awful.
Yep.
You know, and also it's interesting because I'll sit there, we get the liquidations list, and you look down the list, and there are so many people that you recognise. There's so many names I recognise. There's so many businesses that I recognise. And then I walk down, you know, Queen Street, or go through Onehunga or somewhere like that, and most of the businesses are shut. And actually, one of my favourite restaurants in Mission Bay closed a couple of weeks ago, and I'm wondering if it was an IRD closure.
Yeah. Should they be liquidating, closing businesses in hard economic times? It seems to me to be, I know all the laws and all of that, but it's kind of socially irresponsible.
I agree. I think it is socially irresponsible. Give people a leg up. Help them. You know, help them through this issue, you know, maybe write off a bit of tax. You know, if someone's being seriously compliant always and then they come up upon this difficult period, give them a break. Because there's nothing more ugly than a whole city full of half-shut shops.
Yeah. And what does that do to the psyche of the community? And, you know, I'm just thinking, I know it's not, council is different from government tax, but you know, $500,000 you mentioned before, that's what they spent on a bike rack in Wellington. So this is what they're spending the frickin' money on, you know? So I don't even want to pay them money if they're going to spend it on that.
Well, every time I drive around the bays and I go through Mission Bay and I look at all that money the council spent on road bumps and a cycleway, and then I think of all these cafes. I have a particular soft spot for cafes and restaurants because I've actually owned a couple.
Oh, okay.
I own them.
Yeah.
And that is why. And so when these, not when the lockdowns were happening, thank goodness, but it's hard enough to survive. You know, you want people to walk in your door. You want them to buy your product. You've always got to be on form. You can't be grumpy. You've got to be the nicest person in the world. And your heart is breaking and you're so stressed out because Crean Food Services has just told you that you're on cash on delivery, you know. And I mean, it's a really super hard industry to be in. And so when someone makes a dollar it's like a social service, you know, you go down the road and there's a whole bunch of people sitting outside and everyone looks happy and you only have to spend, I don't know, $4 for a coffee and you can sit and relax. So yeah, I'm so conflicted about this.
Well, if the government is so desperate for money, stop wasting our money.
So painful.
It's a two-way street here. It's not just you get to fleece everybody for anything you need. Yeah. Live within your means. Give us a break.
I agree. And I agree for, you know, construction. Like, I look at construction. I have had a little bit of work done recently, needed some painting done. I met a guy on a Saturday, and he said to me, "Oh, I've got a gap on Monday." Like, when did a painter have a gap on a Monday?
Right, they're always busy, huh?
They're always busy. And so I know that construction's really difficult. But anyway,
yeah.
My point with Inland Revenue is, if there is an ability to resolve an issue with a taxpayer, then they should try and resolve it. They shouldn't be fighting. I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, I had in the liquidations court, the company were $6,000 short on a $300,000 payment, and Inland Revenue still wanted to liquidate the company.
That's ridiculous. That's just chump change. That's not even a good second-hand car right there.
Personally, I was actually really shocked, because I thought that they'd go, okay, and the money was supposed to be paid by that day. Well, by that day, I call that 5 o'clock, right? And we were in court at about 10:30, and I'm like, well, it will be paid by the end of the day, because my client had told me it had. But anyway, if you've already paid nearly $300,000, you are committed to paying the final $6,000.
Yeah, okay.
Because you are not going to pay almost $300,000.
Of course, and run out on $6,000.
And run out on $6,000. You're just not going to do that. It was interesting.
Do they have targets and incentives in the back room to kind of house this attitude? I mean, I have no clue, do they?
Not when I was working there.
Are these scalps that, you know, are totaled up?
I'm not actually sure. I think their goal is just to remove debt.
Right. Any way they can.
Any way they can, and I also think that these people, a lot of them, don't have any commercial common sense.
Yep.
And they don't look at different ways to deal with issues. They don't look at they don't play the long game. They play the short game.
Hmm. I know in places like the US, you go into bankruptcy as a business, and you can get kind of protection for a while, so you can carry on trading. Is that right? I mean, do we have similar laws here? And the thing can kind of reset and rebound in that way that we're talking about
before.
Okay,
so in New Zealand, so when a liquidator, so first of all, if you're insolvent, which means you can't pay your current debts and you can't cover your old debts, you're insolvent, they can issue a statutory demand, apply to liquidate you. The moment the company is liquidated, then a liquidator obviously takes over the company.
Yep.
And their job is just to find as much money as they can to pay the creditors.
So strip out all the assets, sell them off, do all that.
Yes. Though I did actually, the interesting thing, I spoke to one of the liquidators from KPMG the other day, and she told me that a big restaurant had gone into liquidation, but KPMG had kept running it, which I thought was super interesting. I didn't realise that they would continue running it. So if a liquidator will assess the situation, and then they'll think, well, they'll try and keep a business running if it's worth it. Like the guy that got liquidated last week, I spoke to the liquidator yesterday, and, you know, they're trying to keep the business going, which I thought was a bit ironic.
Why couldn't they keep the business going with the owner of the business?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to keep it going without the owner of the business.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
It's like, he's got the relationship with everyone, but anyway. But yeah, so the liquidator takes over, and then they'll, you know, get access to the zero or the bank accounts and, you know, their financials. They'll find anyone that owes the company money, which includes the shareholders if they have an overdrawn shareholders account.
Yeah.
And then the liquidator will go to all of those people and issue demands on them for the money. The other thing is that they will also try and keep a business running if they can and sell it as a going concern.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that just pays off all the tax debt that's owed to Inland Revenue.
Okay, how long do you think this, have you got any feel for how long this sort of cycle of this is going to continue? Is there any sort of sunlight anywhere about to beam into the picture?
No, well, in the 90s, after a few people committed suicide, they softened their approach. So maybe it'll be after some people commit suicide.
Boy, because we'll have to come to that.
And isn't that just deadly? The idea of someone thinking the only way that they can deal with this is to kill themselves is awful. And the idea that there are people, I think of people, you know, like sitting at home, cooking the family dinner and sitting around the table and people know that they are carrying this massive, actually, I met a guy the other day and I can't remember how much it was that he owed, but most people I deal with owe well in excess of $100,000. And I can't remember what his debt was, but his wife didn't know.
I bet you that's common.
I think it's very common. I always say to people, I always ask them if their family, and particularly their husbands or wives, are aware of the debt, because I think it's really important that couples support each other.
Yep.
And yeah, this guy was very interesting because his wife doesn't know about the debt, and I think she does a lot of charity work and bits and pieces, and you know, just the embarrassment that you might lose everybody. You know, you go from, you know, everyone thinks, you know, you drive a fancy car perhaps and you've got a nice house and your kids go to a good school, but the whole thing is built on debt. A lot of people actually at private schools, some people that I meet who send their children to private schools, and I often think how interesting it is that they are going to these schools, which are wealthy places.
Yep.
But they know that they have this massive debt.
Oh, gosh. I can see why, and I can only speak for the male point of view here, that you would think that it was kind of a bit of a duty to shelter or buffer the bad news, but at some point it's going to come out anyway, you know. But I can see why people would do that.
Well, just so you know, for this guy, it's not going to come out. We've actually slipped away around it, so it won't actually happen. She will never know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, ooh, he didn't want you to know. Yeah. And he wants you to continue going and doing her charity work and, you know, helping out the community. He didn't want you to know. And I also think that the humiliation for him publicly would have just been too much.
Yeah.
As well.
All right. Really interesting. Great to get an idea of what's going on out there, Mary.
Being chased.
From someone who's in the room. We're in the courtroom.
In the room. It's super interesting. I actually quite like it. And I actually also enjoy dealing with Inland Revenue. They're actually, you know, good people, except for this crazy director. Hey, you know that hashing thing, by the way? Do you want to have a quick chat about that?
Oh, yes. Where they were using social media, what, to entrap people? Is that what was going on?
I would say yes, probably. So they're using social media and they're giving Facebook, you know, data sets of something like 500,000 taxpayers. And I only heard about it yesterday morning when I heard it on RNZ. And then I researched it. And Inland Revenue are saying that there is, you know, this is all anonymized and no one can see who these people are. But actually, how can it be anonymized if they're targeting specific people and giving that data to Facebook? It's not anonymized at all, because it would be very easy, I'm sure, for Facebook to match the data, because IRD are tasking Facebook or finding specific people to target these advertisements.
That's not anonymizing anything, is it? Because you're trying to find actual people, identifiable people.
And the other thing that I did wonder about that is, does IRD use Facebook to tell them where people are?
Yeah, because you've got geolocation, et cetera.
Well, they do, because Facebook can tell where people are. I mean, they can probably tell from what your IP address, where your computer is sitting.
Of course.
And things like that. Because IRD spend a lot of time, and actually, fair enough, I don't care that they chase student debt. But once you go overseas, you start getting interest, and I think people are aware when they go overseas, and you have to pay at the most $4,000 back here. Never quite worked out how it works.
And you say, no, I haven't been overseas, but we can. Yes, you have.
Yeah, but you know, just the fact that because they can chase student loan debtors overseas, they can get them in England. You know, they can bankrupt them in England for that money if they want. And so I did wonder if, you know, if this is a reciprocal arrangement, we'll give you all the data, Facebook, now you tell us where they are.
Yeah. Gee, don't like the sound of that, Mary.
I'm very suspicious. I'm a conspiracist sometimes, actually.
Oh,
or
yeah,
maybe well, I go a little bit too far in my thinking, but I did actually wonder that.
Yeah. All right. Fascinating. Mary Nelson, tax lawyer. Thanks for coming back on our Legal Hub, Mary.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thank you so much.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.